Welcome to the Red Zone.
The Red Zone.
With Soren Petro. An exclusive presentation of KCChiefs.com. For the next 60 minutes, this is your in-depth, inside look at the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, here's your host, Soren Petro.
Good afternoon and welcome. You're in the Red Zone here at KCChiefs.com. Soren Petro with you on a Wednesday, and a lot to get to here on this Wednesday as we will continue to look at the draft. The director of scouting for NationalFootballPost.com, Wes Bunting, will be with us. We're going to break down defensive ends and offensive tackles as we continue week by week to break down all the positions in the NFL draft. This time, D-ends and offensive tackles. D-ends a little bit different a view of the position now. So many teams playing the 3-4, included in that the Chiefs. A different type of player that plays a D-end in the 3-4 versus the 4-3. We'll talk about that with Wes coming up a little bit later, but get the overall word on what is the strength of the defensive end position. And then we'll talk offensive tackles, a spot that a lot of people have the Kansas City Chiefs taking in this draft with that fifth overall pick, whether it's there or later on. In the draft, offensive line figures to be a priority. I think the Chiefs have done a good job in free agency of trying to shore up some of those holes along the offensive line, an offensive line that seemed to be gelling as the season progressed. Ryan Lilja added via free agency, and now the Chiefs will attempt to add to that with some young players. You've always got to have cost-effective players. Not everybody on your roster can be a 4- or 5-year veteran, and the Chiefs will look to expand upon their depth on the offensive line in this draft. Now, is that pick number 5 or is it later on? We'll find out. We'll talk to Wes about who is available in this draft, what kind of talent is available in this draft, and then we'll also talk about what the depth is like. So if the Chiefs do choose to go in another direction, away from the offensive line early in this draft, well, we'll find out exactly what the depth looks like in the position. And I'll point out that will be a good exercise for Chiefs fans to listen to, because Logan Mankins at number 32, the highest offensive line draft pick ever by Scott Pioli, by a Scott Pioli-led football team. So O-line high in the draft is not something – he didn't pick high in the draft very often, but O-line has generally not been a spot they've gone. Scott Pioli-led team has generally not been a spot that's gone very high for the football team. So second, third round may be a more likely destination for the offensive tackles. We will see. We'll talk about it with Wes Bunting a little bit later on. After that, Brandon Flowers. We'll actually get to your emails after that. Then Brandon Flowers will join us, Chiefs cornerback. We'll talk to Brandon about getting ready for the season. New D coordinator Romeo Crennel, how the system is fitting together. Get his thoughts on where things are at as the offseason program in full swing now for the Kansas City Chiefs. So we'll talk to Brandon Flowers and get his thoughts on where the defense is at this time. And both Wes Bunting and Brandon Flowers here in the Red Zone today. Also get your emails. Remember, you can email us redzone@kcchiefs.com or .org. Excuse me, that's redzone@kcchiefs.org. And we'll be happy to answer as many of your emails as we can. Let's start with some of the news from the Chiefs. The Chiefs adding an assistant defensive assistant and assistant linebacker coach to the staff. Adam Zimmer has been added, coming over from the New Orleans Saints. And, yes, he is the son of Mike Zimmer, the defensive coordinator for the Cincinnati Bengals, who made one of the best turnarounds defensively this year and was a real main reason why they made their way into the postseason. People think of him as an offensive team. Really, they were a defensive team. Son of Mike Zimmer, Adam Zimmer, is here after several years in New Orleans. Obviously, some familiarity. Gary Gibbs worked with him in New Orleans, so he is added to the staff, and the Chiefs expand their defensive coaching staff with a young man that a lot of people think is one of the up-and-coming minds in the coaching ranks in the NFL. So one move on the coaching staff for the Kansas City Chiefs. Another move for the Chiefs, the announcement of the preseason schedule. This came out a little while ago, a little over an hour ago. Game number one, they're going to play at the Atlanta Falcons. Dates are still to be determined, times and dates. So they'll have to work it out with the venues and the other teams as to what is the actual day. You can expect some Fridays probably to figure in prominently, maybe even a Thursday to figure in prominently. But game number one will be on the road in Atlanta in the Georgia Dome. It'll be available on KCTV 5. Game two at Tampa Bay. Raymond James Stadium. Again, KCTV 5. Game 3 here at Arrowhead against the Philadelphia Eagles. Again on Channel 5, and Game 4 also on Channel 5. It will be against the Green Bay Packers. So at Atlanta, at Tampa, home for the Eagles and home for the Packers. You'll note no Rams in that preseason schedule. The Governor Cup always played between the Chiefs and Rams. And first time since 2000, the Chiefs and Rams will not play in the preseason. They did that year play in the regular season, and that is the case again. The Governor's Cup will be contested in the regular season game between the Chiefs and Rams. Still no schedule put out by the league yet as to what the dates will be on that regular season schedule. But we know the Chiefs will be playing the Rams. Teams oftentimes, when you know you're going to have a team in the regular season, will try to avoid playing them in the preseason so that there is not some competitive advantage, or you're not giving game tape to your opposition from what you do in the preseason. Probably way over cautious on coaches' parts, but if you can schedule elsewhere, why wouldn't you? And that's the case here. The Chiefs have played a couple of times against the Rams in the preseason when they've played in the regular season in 2002 and 2006, the last couple of times NFC West has come up. They did go ahead and play in the preseason, probably because both teams couldn't find another game, another partner for them to schedule that game. I don't know. I'm not on the inside, but that would be my assumption. But if you can find another game, the Chiefs were able to do it with the Green Bay Packers. The Rams have clearly found another game. The teams now can go play a different game, can test the Governor's Cup during the regular season and not be showing their hand, showing their talent, their personnel to the other one in the preseason. So if you'll see that, if you get a look at it again, if you're just hearing it, at Atlanta, at Tampa, home for the Eagles and home for the Packers in the preseason, I think what you'll quickly say is, well, where are the Rams? Don't worry. The Governor's Cup will be contested this year. It'll be done in a regular season game. Probably the best way to do the Governor's Cup is a regular season game. One other thing that should be pointed out, you'll notice, as I said, the first two games on the road, giving all construction as much time as possible before debuting the new Arrowhead in the home opener, the preseason home opener against the Eagles, third game of the year, so it maximizes the amount of time to make sure Arrowhead is done and ready to go. The brand new Arrowhead, which is being billed as a new body but with the same soul, if you heard that commercial campaign. So a brand new Arrowhead for you to enjoy, first chance you'll get, Philadelphia Eagles coming in with the preseason game. Other news from around the league, the biggest news seems to be, and all the news I think that most people are salivating for right now, is the draft. And the latest news has Sam Bradford moving up to the top spot. You know, a lot of people are projecting him to go to the St. Louis Rams. That's of note, because if he goes there, that slides everybody else on down the list. So if Bradford goes there, the rest of the list slides down, and that means other talent is available. The Chiefs presumably would not be looking at a quarterback with the addition of Matt Cassel last year. So this will slide down the other players. You want to dream a dream if you got a guy other than the quarterback that you think is a must-have player. Well, if the Rams do indeed end up going the Sam Bradford route, the Chiefs' chances of getting whoever your player might be, most people would say locally here, Ndamukong Suh, just because we watched him play so many nights up at Nebraska, the chances got a little bit better if the Rams are indeed going to go with the quarterback. So we keep an eye on everybody in picks 1 through 4, because it clearly affects who the Chiefs will be able to land at pick number 5. So stay tuned on that. We'll get to a little bit more about the draft in our next segment. Wes Bunting, he's the director of college scouting for NationalFootballPost.com. He's next here in the Red Zone.
Today's show is sponsored in part by Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster. The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
Real sports fans can tell you all about decibels. That a crowd yelling at 105 decibels is like a jackhammer. 120, a jet engine. That studies directly link team performance to crowd noise. Finally, they'll tell you to go to Ticketmaster, with more ways to get you into the game, including buying and selling seats from season ticket holders and other fans. Because for your voice to be heard, you have to be there. Ticketmaster. More ways in.
Buy and sell Chiefs tickets with Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster at kcchiefs.com.
Every Sunday, a city of more than 2 million unites. A community of fans thousands strong anticipates. A team of 53 players charges the field.
It's a sweep left to the fullback, and a great block springs him to the outside. He's up the left sideline.
And one grocery store is proud to support them all.
He's going to outrace everyone to the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. A Kansas City Chiefs fan, they'll tailgate just about anywhere. And they live to hear the three most important words ever.
Tailgate, Kansas City!
With Hy-Vee's weekly tailgate specials, you'll find everything you need for your next Chiefs tailgate or Chiefs party. Stop into Hy-Vee and stock up with new tailgate specials every week.
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs.
With the fifth pick, the Kansas City Chiefs select...
We can't tell you yet. You're going to have to find out at the Chiefs NFL Draft Party. The NFL Draft is right around the corner and new for 2010. The draft's first round will be held in prime time Thursday night, April 22nd. The Draft Party takes place at the Chiefs Indoor Practice Facility with the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, hosting the party, giving you an inside look at each player selected along with live draft updates from New York. There'll be a special appearance by Chiefs Chairman Clark Hunt. Come get autographs and pictures of current and former Chiefs players. Get your first peek at the 2010 Chiefs cheerleader and shake your belly with Casey Wolf. We'll have food and drinks available, so join us for happy hour Thursday, April 22nd. Get tickets now for the Chiefs Draft Day Party, sponsored by Miller Lite and KC Southern. Chiefs Draft Day tickets start at just $15 for adults and $10 for kids. Get yours now at kcchiefs.com or by calling 800-745-3000. The 2010 Chiefs NFL Draft Party.
It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angle, cutback, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Jamal Charles.
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job, and we'll win this game. And the Chiefs put the hammer down.
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good! Ryan Suckup wins the game in overtime.
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to kcchiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul. Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com. Today's show is sponsored in part by Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster.
Welcome back. You're in the Red Zone here at kcchiefs.com. Soren Petro with you on a Wednesday as we continue to break down the NFL draft. We do it with Wes Bunting, Director of College Scouting from NationalFootballPost.com. You can check out his work there. Got the position rankings up. And, Wes, let's start things off on the defensive side of the ball today. Defensive end, first of all, the position. What kind of depth is there at that defensive end? Which I know is kind of tough because with the difference between the 3-4 and the 4-3, outside linebackers almost get grouped into this, at least the big ones, the big pass rush style outside linebackers kind of get grouped in here as well. How's the depth overall, whether it's 3-4 or 4-3?
You know, I really like the class, to be honest. I think there's some guys down 10, 11, 12 in that range, obviously in the rankings I'm talking about, that can end up being productive players at the next level. Guys like Greg Middleton, Jeffrey Fitzgerald, Jamie Curlew, Clifton Gathers, they're guys that, you know, not many people are talking about, but in 2-3 years they could be productive for NFL teams. So there's some decent talent towards the top end with the Derek Morgans, the Jason Pierre-Pauls, but some good depth in that mid to late round range, guys that can fill needs throughout NFL teams.
Jeffrey Fitzgerald, you mentioned him. He's a local guy for fans of K-State. He's just down the road in Manhattan, Kansas. Tell me what you like about him. It's nice to, I'm sure, for K-State fans to hear you mention his name.
Yeah, well, he just hasn't put it all together yet. To be honest, the guy has some base strength. He has some natural suddenness on contact, a big, strong guy, uses his hands pretty well, but it's the motor that has ability to turn off at times and let some guys block him that aren't as talented as he is. I think with a couple of years to develop and with some time, he has the ability to mature into a starter. Which is how bad does this guy want it? But intriguing skill set athletically for a guy his size.
All right. Tell me your thoughts on this one, because I know most years it seems like the big boys, you know, the traditional power schools are the ones that put out the best pass rushers, the best defensive ends. You know, year in, year out, we hear, you know, 3-4 last year, the Chiefs took Tyson Jackson out of LSU. You know, that seems to be the case. Now, there are always small school guys that pop up. My recollection is, you tell me if I'm wrong, and maybe I'm just forgetting on some of the names, but the smaller school guys that seem to pop in, end up failing or not living up to the expectation. We hear guys talked about as a mid to late first rounder, or maybe he's a second rounder. When they get drafted, they don't tend to live up to it. For the most part, and I guess I thought of one, DeMarcus Ware off the top of my head. But for the most part, the bigger schools seem to be the ones that put out the great pass rushers. Do you agree, or am I missing something?
No, I think you're right. And a lot of times we see these numbers of a guy like Austin Lane from Murray State. I mean, the guy's had, I think, almost 30 sacks the last 3 years. It's just such a jump in level of competition, which allows you to get some habits that aren't NFL conducive. Your technique's a little raw, and you're able to beat guys because of that pure athletic skill set. And sometimes, you know, guys don't pay as much attention to detail then when they're able to get by physically. Then they go to the Senior Bowl, a guy like Austin Lane, and you know what? These tricks that were working at the 1AA level, they're not working at the Senior Bowl. So I think we see a lot of times guys that are more ready, obviously, from big-time programs come in and are able to be productive, whereas guys from the smaller schools, they don't make that initial mark getting after the quarterback, and it takes them a little longer to get used to it. Sometimes they don't have the willingness to continue to work through those 3-4 years, and they end up flopping out. So I think that's the biggest difference. It's just, you know, making that jump to the NFL, huge difference in level of competition from the 1A level, nevertheless, the AA level.
Yeah, and I guess, I thought of Jared Allen as well, fourth-round pick of the Chiefs that's from Idaho. That's gone on to play, obviously, at the highest possible level you can play in the NFL. So maybe it's just about the value. Maybe you just got to do a little bit more homework, but that's two pretty good ones. DeMarcus Ware, kind of a outside linebacker attacker in a Cowboys 3-4, and Jared Allen, outstanding pass rusher out of the 4-3. So I guess they're out there, but maybe not as plentiful as some people think. All right, let's talk about the guys at the top. Who do you have ranked as the top defensive end in this class?
Well, I think that's Derek Morgan from Georgia Tech. This is a guy, 6'4", 275 pounds. Ideal frame, can hold the point of attack, doesn't have an elite first step off the edge. He has an above-average first step, but he's really powerful on contact, keeps his base down, can rush from a 3- or 4-point stance, uses his length, really sudden on contact, and he's a guy that in college needed to be chipped and double-teamed consistently. We saw him versus Clemson, I believe it was week 2. Guy had 4 sacks in the first 3 quarters of the game, going one-on-one with guys like Corey Lampert. Just being able to dominate opposing offensive tackles all year, one-on-one. This is a guy that has the ability to reach the quarterback in so many different ways. Looks like one of the safest, productive defensive ends in this year's class. Reminds me a lot of Will Smith from the Saints.
All right, let's talk about Jason Pierre-Paul from South Florida. Is he more of a 4-3 type defensive end than an outside linebacker in the 3-4, or is he big enough to play D-end in a 3-4?
No, I think you hit the nail on the head. If he wants to put on 20 more pounds, he can play the 5 technique. If he stays where he's at, he certainly can play as a defensive end in a 4-3. He can move to outside linebacker. We know that the New England Patriots, the Miami Dolphins love those big, physical outside linebackers in their 3-4. Pierre-Paul scares me to death, though, as a first-round talent. Everything came so easy to him, has the longest arms in this year's draft, 6'6", 270, great first step, natural bender. But why wasn't he more productive? Only 7 sacks this past year, doesn't have a ton of experience, doesn't have a ton of tape on him. Physical freak, it's just, I don't know. When things get tough, because things came so easy for him in college football, I don't know if this is a guy that right now has the technique, has the ability to consistently beat blocks when people want to get into his frame and knock him off the football. So he concerns me a bit, one of the real boom or bust prospects in this year's draft.
All right, Carlos Dunlap was a guy that a lot of people thought was going to be in the running for the number one overall pick. He didn't have quite the season. You mentioned the maybe falling a little bit short with Pierre-Paul. he didn't have the type of season that a lot of people had forecasted for him. And then he had some off-the-field issues as well late in the year. First of all, just from his play, we'll get to the off-the-field stuff in a minute, but from his play on the field, did he disappoint, or did people make a mistake and maybe overrate him too much coming into the year?
No, well, there's two Carlos Dunlaps on the field. There's the one that has the motor running, who's absolutely brilliant, that can play defensive end. You can kick him inside a defensive tackle. You can shed blocks, push the pocket, really disruptive, tough guy to block. And then there's the Carlos Dunlap that doesn't have the motor running, who you see consistently on tape that you or I could block. Just doesn't want to be part of the game. So a bit immature, a young guy with the physical skill set to be as good as he wants to be, but he's a guy you have to get a feel for. You know, does he want to be good in the NFL? Does he want to work hard? Is he willing to play through pain? A lot of question marks with Carlos Dunlap. If the light goes on for him, he could be a steal late in the first, early in the second, but if it doesn't, I mean, you're getting a guy that could be out of the NFL in 3 or 4 years.
Do you, if you were a GM, would you pull the trigger on him?
No, I'd stay away from him. I want guys that give me consistent effort. I'd much rather have a guy like Tyson Alualu from California than a guy like Dunlap.
Yeah, and all right, let's talk about you. You said it. I'll let you pronounce it again. Let's talk about Alualu.
Tyson Alualu. Just let it flow off your tongue.
Okay, Alualu.
There you go. This is a guy. Played the 5 technique at California at around 6'2", 295. I think he's a bit undersized from a length perspective to play the 5 technique. A lot of people like him as a 3 technique defensive tackle. I think he can play there, but I just like him as a blue-collar, tough, nasty, base defensive end that can set the edge, has some suddenness as a pass rusher. You can kick him inside on third downs. You can let him rush off the edge. I think he's one of the safest guys in this year's draft. You bring him in as a second rounder, you know what you're going to get. He can contribute from day one, plays the run and pass well. Just a prospect who I love because of his work ethic, because of his motor, his technique, just has a real passion for the game.
How is the depth of DN for teams that play the 3-4? That's obviously the Chiefs' base defense. Last year the word was it was Tyson Jackson, then you had to wait a long time before there were guys that came up on the board. For 3-4 specific DNs, I mean, you just talked about Alualu and how he projects out. But overall, what's the depth for a team that's playing the 3-4 when they look at these DNs?
You know, honestly, I think it's better than years past. Obviously, it's led by a guy like Jared Odrick from Penn State. But then you have Brandon Diedrich from Alabama. This is a big 5 technique guy that played there. Corey Wooten from Northwestern ran in the 4.9 range yesterday, so it doesn't look like he's a guy that can reach the edge in the NFL as a 4.3 guy, but he's 6'7", 260 pounds. You strap on 20, 30 more pounds to him, he definitely has the length to shed blocks on the outside. But the one guy that really intrigues me is Clifton Gathers from South Carolina. This is 6'7", 295-pound kid, really good athlete, can bend, can dip, long arms, came out as a junior. Some people didn't think he was going to come out a bit raw, but has the quintessential size, speed, numbers to be that ideal 5 technique guy. A lot of interest from him in the mid rounds. Could even move up into that third round range for an ideal 5 technique defensive end.
All right, we're talking to Wes Bunting, Director of College Scouting for NationalFootballPost.com. Let's move over to the offensive side of the ball and start with the O-tackles. One of the guys we've been hearing about for a long time in these parts, Russell Okung from Oklahoma State, is he still on top of the tackle list?
Yeah, he's by far the most NFL-ready left tackle in this year's draft. From an athletic standpoint, has the range to reach the edge, good footwork, cleanly redirects inside. The big question mark with him coming into the year was at 6'6", 303 pounds, does he have the base? And I never thought that was that much of a knock. And then we find out the combine, the guy has 36-inch arms, plays really long as well. And it's tough to bull rush a guy when you can't get into his frame. And Okung plays so long with those 36-inch arms. He's really tough to bull rush. I think this guy, you can pencil him in as a left tackle from day one. I don't know if he'll ever be one of the elite left tackles, the Orlando Paces, the Jonathan Ogdens, the Walter Jones, but he's a really serviceable guy. Should be one of the better offensive tackles in the league for the next couple of years.
All right, how many guys do you look at and say, absolutely, these guys are left tackles in the NFL? There's certainly a lot of guys that will get a shot to play the left side. Many of them will make their way over to the right side and even down to guard. But how many guys do you look at in this draft and say, absolutely, that guy's going to play left tackle in the league?
You know, I look at Russell Okung. I look at Brian Beloga, Charles Brown from Southern California, Jason Frock from Miami, Anthony Davis, Bruce Campbell. And after that, I mean, there's a lot of variables that go into it. You know, a lot of these guys like Trent Williams, I think he's more ideally suited to play right tackle. Roger Saffold from Indiana, I think he could play left tackle, probably a little more ideally suited to play inside or on the right side. But, you know, there's only a select few, and those guys come off the board very early. There's some small school guys that will intrigue you with their athletic ability. Jared Velde here from Hills there and Tony Washington from Abilene Christian. But, you know, after those guys, it's a short list of left tackle-only prospects. You look at some of these guys that lack the ability. Can they play tackle in the NFL? Absolutely. But it's a special breed that plays on the left side in the NFL.
Yeah, and we've seen some small school success. I don't know if it's any more or less than the defensive end, but Willie Rofe, Louisiana Tech. I'm trying to think, though, do we get down into the 1AAs, D2s, D3 level? I'm not coming up with any off the top of my head.
For the left tackle, I mean, Jahari Evans from Bloomsburg, the offensive guard from the Saints, but it's tough to find left tackles. If these guys have the athletic ability and the size, they get scooped up pretty quickly, and they're not a name that goes under the radar, that's for sure.
Brian Beluga at Iowa, how much do people bring up, past failures from a school? You know, we know Penn State got labeled as running back bust U when Blair Thomas and Kajana Carter, and it's probably unfair because those guys had injuries, had knee injuries, but Curtis Enos was a high pick as well. He didn't pan out. Beluga comes from Iowa, where, of course, now I'm drawing a blank,
Robert Gallery
came from. How much do people say, hang on, we've had guys come from there before, they didn't end up being all that?
Yeah, well, you know, you look at Iowa and the offensive linemen they've sent into the NFL. Robert Gallery is a pretty good guard right now for the Oakland Raiders. Obviously, they didn't pay him all that money to be a guard, but he's a pretty serviceable offensive line. Eric Steinbach, pretty good Iowa offensive lineman. They had two last year that came out as well. So you know what you're getting from Kirk Ferentz. Brian Beluga, he's a guy, a dominant sophomore year. I had him ranked as the top offensive tackle in the class. Obviously has the thyroid condition. Doesn't play as strong this year as he did in the past. Now, you come off a thyroid condition, you're bedridden for 3 weeks, you're going to have trouble regaining the strength. So I think, you know, with his combine results, with his pro day results, I think he's regained the strength. I think we're going to see the Brian Beluga from 2 years ago, and I think that's an NFL-caliber left tackle. Reminds me a lot of a more athletic version of Jeff Backus. I think he'll be a sound left tackle in the NFL.
All right, who's the next one that profiles out? Because I think Chiefs fans would be thinking, all right, if you're going to take one up high, or let's go with that next. How many guys do you think warrant going, maybe not just number five, because trade downs do happen, but say top 10. How many of these offensive tackles we're talking about are top 10 caliber?
Honestly, I would just say two, and Okung and Beluga. I think they're both top 10 caliber. After that, I think Charles Brown from Southern Cal, I think he deserves a first-round pick. Saffold from Indiana deserves a first-round pick. And Anthony Davis and Bruce Campbell, they're first-round caliber talents, but they're immature. They have some question marks, character concerns. I'd have a tough time giving them a first-round grade, to be honest. And then we look at Trent Williams. He's everyone's darling right now, but the guy honestly struggled consistently throughout the year playing left tackle. Are you going to invest a first-round pick on a right tackle? That's where his best tape is, and that's a question mark that I have and that I wouldn't do, to be honest.
How much he did just play the 1 year he moved over there after Philip Loadhold left, how much do you factor in that they had that limited experience, or is that something that a guy, if he's got the athletic skills, he should take to it right away at that level?
Yeah, and you look at his 4.85 at the combine. This is a guy with the athletic skill set. He just doesn't look as comfortable with his footwork, kick sliding out to the left side as he does on the right. That's no slap against him. It's just, you know, he's done it longer. He looks more comfortable, looks more polished. He went against some marginal competition this year on the left side and really struggled to reach the edge. I just don't know if he has that muscle memory to consistently reach the edge versus elite speed. Has a pretty good base when asked to anchor on contact. Sticks to blocks, but isn't overly fluid when asked to redirect. And people make him out to be some dominant run blocker, which I would totally agree with, going against some of the softer teams, we'll say, in the Big 12. He has the ability to get movement but consistently dominate the point of attack. I don't see it from Trent Williams.
All right, based on the numbers you give, you know, just a couple of these tackles being top 10, you rattled off a couple more for the first round. Chiefs have had, at least Scott Pioli had a history in New England. He never drafted an offensive lineman higher than number 32 overall, even though a lot of people are pegging him to take an offensive tackle at that number 5. If that ends up being his approach, that you can get linemen later, sounds like this would probably be a pretty good second, third round class, a pretty good position for the second and third round, or no?
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, I gave Charles Brown a first-round grade. You know, he might not go, but Brown, Saffold, Vladimir Dukas from Massachusetts, maybe an offensive guard, maybe a right tackle, but some people looked at him at the left tackle of the Senior Bowl. Jason Fox from Miami, whose stock has fallen just a bit because of the injury he suffered at the end of the year, but this is one of the best pure left tackles in the draft. And then three right tackles that you can get in the mid-round that I think have the ability to start for you on that right side and win at the point of attack in the run game. Kyle Callaway from Iowa, Mike Tepper from California, and Will Barker from Virginia.
Yeah, sounds like a pretty good class. The Chiefs could use some young tackles. We'll see if they end up going that direction. What's the most important physical attribute for the O-tackle spot?
You need to have base strength. That's the first thing, because with these pass rushers right now, if they know they can take the quickest line to the quarterback, which is that straight line bowling him right into the quarterback, they'll make every offensive tackle they go against look like a good pass rusher. So if you don't have base strength as an offensive tackle, you really struggle blocking the bull rush. And that's the biggest thing I look for right away. Do they have the base to anchor versus the bull?
Wes Bunting is the director of college scouting for NationalFootballPost.com. Final four time, four quickies. Are you ready, Wes?
I love this.
All right. What did you think of Brandon Flowers, who we're going to talk to here in a little bit? What did you think of him when he came out of Virginia Tech?
You know, I thought he was a better football player than athlete, and I think he's done nothing but prove that so far. Not the fastest of guys, but has a nose for the football, can redirect. I like him coming out.
All right, good, good. And he certainly made you look good. Would you rather have dinner with Bill Belichick or Jim Kelly? I'll ask you that first. You may know why I'm getting at this, but if you don't, just which one would you rather have dinner with, and I'll explain after that.
Just dinner? I'll go with Jim Kelly. I think he's much better conversation.
All right. Supposedly, Tim Tebow has had dinner with both of them.
Gotcha. I heard the Jim Kelly. I haven't heard Bill Belichick yet.
Yeah, you know, that's out there that he had dinner with Belichick, and, you know, I get it with Jim Kelly. Okay, talk to a guy who played down in Florida. He played at Miami, but quarterback, what it takes. But Belichick seems to have, you know, that seems a little different. You know, we'll see what it ends up meaning. Just curious who you thought would be a better dinner partner. Although I hear Belichick's a funnier guy behind closed doors if you get to know him than he lets on in these press conferences. But just interesting. We'll see how it plays out. All right. Can McNabb save the Raiders?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the Raiders, and you know I'm a Raiders fan. I admitted that last week.
Yes.
And, you know, they're talented defensively, especially in that front seven. They have guys that can cover. You don't win in the NFL with good quarterback play. And the Raiders have arguably had the worst in the NFL, still won 5 games last year despite of it. If McNabb can come in and give him some solid quarterback play, and you know a very winnable AFC West, they have a chance to compete for it. Not going to say Super Bowl or playoffs right away, but McNabb can come in. I think it's amazing what happens when you get good quarterback play. Rich Gannon's proven that. Drew Brees has proven that. So I think he could turn the Raiders around pretty quickly.
All right. And is there anyone who stayed in college that you really thought should have come on out, that they're running a risk because they could have gone very high and put a lot of money in their pocket?
You know, honestly, the one guy who I'm the biggest fan of is Jake Locker, the quarterback from Washington. But you can never take a shot at a quarterback who decides to go back for a senior year to better ready himself for the NFL game. I think he would have been the lock number one overall pick ahead of Sam Bradford if he did come out. But I think next year he'll be a season more ready under Steve Sarkisian at Washington. And I think he'll be the number one pick next year.
All right, very good. Great stuff as always, Wes. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week.
Hey, thanks for having me.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
Real sports fans can tell you all about decibels. That a crowd yelling at 105 decibels is like a jackhammer. 120, a jet engine. That studies directly link team performance to crowd noise. Finally, They'll tell you to go to Ticketmaster, with more ways to get you into the game, including buying and selling seats from season ticket holders and other fans. Because for your voice to be heard, you have to be there. Ticketmaster. More ways in.
Buy and sell Chiefs tickets with Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster at kcchiefs.com.
Welcome to Chiefs Country, where fans like you wear their passion for their team like war paint. It's for you, Chiefs fans, that we created Chiefs Checking, with the official Chiefs debit card and discounts on Chiefs gear all year long.
Visit Metcalf Bank or ChiefsChecking.com, and for a limited time, sign up and score a Chiefs game day cooler.
Chiefs Checking, because you're not just a fan on Sunday.
Only at Metcalf Bank. Strong roots, endless possibilities. Member Central Bank Company, member FDIC. See bank for details.
Hey, Chiefs fans, I'm Josh Looney of KCChiefs.com.
And I am the Internet. I usually don't endorse websites, but KCChiefs.com is legit.
I know. At KCChiefs.com, you can check out my daily blog, exclusive video content, see what's going on with the team. You can also interact with other fans in Chiefs 365, and much more.
I'm so excited. I can barely contain myself.
You want the Chiefs? Go to the Chiefs at KCChiefs.com.
Are you looking for that perfect gift? Maybe it's a birthday, a holiday, or just looking for something special for that extra special Chiefs fan in your life? Well, we have it. The 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar is now available at kcchiefs.com. This 16-month calendar features the entire Chiefs Cheerleader squad in swimsuits shot in Red Hot Jamaica. Get your hands on the 16-month 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar online at the Chiefs Pro Shop at kcchiefs.com.
It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angle, cutback, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Jamal Charles.
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job and we'll win this game. And the Chiefs put the hammer down.
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good! Ryan Suckup wins the game in overtime.
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to kcchiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul. Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com.
Welcome back. You're in the Red Zone here at kcchiefs.com. Soren Petro with you on what is, if you're listening to us live, a beautiful Wednesday here in Kansas City. Temperatures in the low 80s, the expectation for what the high will be. Talk about your emails here. You can email us, redzone@kcchiefs.org. That is redzone@kcchiefs.org. That is how you get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you. A couple of emails we'll try to run through here. Number one, this one from Steve. Says, Soren, love the Red Zone. Thank you, Steve. Love having you listening to the Red Zone. Should KC have waited for Donovan McNabb? I see that the Raiders and other teams are rumored to be interested in Donovan McNabb. Should KC have stuck with their quarterbacks or gone another direction, a cheaper direction, last year in an effort to wait out the Eagles and make a move for Donovan McNabb? Steve, good question, and that's one that obviously comes up now in hindsight. Hindsight, because now we know the next year, Donovan McNabb is being made available, it looks like, by the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, if you knew how everyone was going to turn out, you'd get the draft right every year, but you don't. You got to pick based on the information you have. If you knew that you were going to have a stud corner in Brandon Flowers, go to the Chiefs at the top of the second round, but numerous teams in the bottom half of the first round have jumped on him. Yeah, probably, but they made their decisions based on the information that was at hand at that time. And I think if you sit around waiting and hoping to get somebody later on, or hoping that a team will sour on a player and be made available, you're probably going to be finding yourself wanting a lot. When you do that, it becomes clear that you become desperate, and teams will hold you up for the maximum possible price. Should the Chiefs have waited for Donovan McNabb? I'm going to say no. And trust me, that comes from a guy who went to Syracuse. I'm as big a Donovan McNabb fan as you're going to find in these parts. I say no. I think you've got to play the hand that's dealt to you. Last year, the hand was dealt to the Chiefs, where they had a guy with talent at the quarterback spot in Brody Croyle, but had not shown the ability to stay healthy and stay on the field. They felt like they needed to look for a quarterback that could handle that job full-time, at least come in and compete with Brody Croyle full-time. And they had a guy who, was clearly very familiar with the front office of the Kansas City Chiefs. They knew him. They knew his warts. They knew his strengths. They knew everything about him. They felt like the deal for a second-round pick and they not only got him, but they got Mike Vrabel as well, was a good one. And I'll agree. I think you make that deal and you move forward. I think you evaluate. If Donovan McNabb is made available today, you evaluate, are we in the market for Donovan McNabb? And that's a question that that every team should ask themselves with the accomplishments McNabb has put together and his age, not 40 years old by any stretch, in his low 30s, would appear to have a number of quality football games ahead of him in his career. I think every team has to ask themselves, are we in the market for Donovan McNabb? I think if you're the Chiefs, you say, all right, first of all, we're going to put a lot of salary cap money into the quarterback spot. If we acquire him, do we want to do that, or can we spend that money someplace else? Do we think that Matt Castle needs somebody to push him or to compete with him, or do we think Matt Castle can't get it done? I think it's too early to say that. I believe that Matt Castle had a better-than-expected season in his first year. It's why we go on record here on the Red Zone. We try to be proactive and not just reactive. And I stated I thought he would throw more interceptions than touchdowns in that first year. I heard a lot of people saying, oh, 25 TDs, 10 interceptions. First year rebuilding team, I thought more INTs than touchdowns. He had just as many, 16 to 16 TD to INT ratio. I think that's an excellent performance. Couple that with the fact that you're tied into his contract, six-year deal, a lot of money still coming his way. Do I want to tie up that much money in the quarterback spot? Do I want to create what would obviously become an instant quarterback controversy? The answer is no. So I would pass. If you can look back on it, you'll kill yourself. You'll just absolutely kill yourself if you constantly every year try to relive and say, boy, if I could have predicted the future, or should we have predicted the future and known that the Eagles would have actually gotten serious about trading Donovan McNabb the next year. Should we have waited? I think, number one, your team will never have the personnel that you need it to have because nobody is 100% across the board, has all the personnel that they want all the time. You're always going to be having to cover up for some kind of weakness. I think if you just sit around constantly not addressing, possible solutions, hoping that a better solution comes along, you'll find yourself just sitting on the side of the road most of the time. Donovan McNabb will be 34 in the middle of this year. Matt Castle will turn 28 before the season. So 6 years younger with Matt Castle, already committed the dollars. I'll take my chances with Matt Castle. Wish Donovan McNabb luck wherever he ends up going. Now, you ask me, do I want Donovan McNabb in the division? No, I'd love to see Donovan McNabb sent to the Arizona Cardinals or someplace outside of the division. Rumors have him going to the Oakland Raiders. That would certainly greatly improve their football team. Would love to see him go someplace else and play for a different team because the quarterback position has been a weakness for the Oakland Raiders to this point. We'll see if the Raiders or anybody else is able to get this deal done and get him get Donovan McNabb into uniform and playing for their team. Appreciate the email, Steve. Thank you very much. I got one here from Bob. What about a quarterback in the draft, Seren? That's why we picked these two. They pair up rather nicely. Chiefs have Matt Castle. I'm aware Brody Croyle has shown flashes, but do they need to be looking at another quarterback? Well, as we said, Matt Castle will turn 28. He's not 28 yet. In fact, his birthday's in May. He'll turn 28 in May. That gives him a good, I would say, 6 to 7 years in his prime. I think at least quarterbacks are playing into the age of 35. I believe Peyton Manning's 32 or 33. We mentioned McNabb, 34. I would count on 7 prime years minimum out of Matt Castle, but you can never have too many good quarterbacks. The Chiefs have Tyler Palco and Matt Gutierrez in addition to Brody Croyle and Matt Castle. Would I look at a quarterback? Yes. Every single draft I would look at quarterbacks. And if you look at the history of how the Patriots drafted quarterbacks in New England, they took a lot of them. Tom Brady's the one that everybody remembers, obviously, because he's headed to the Hall of Fame with a 6th-round pick. There were other quarterbacks selected by them, from Michael Beasley to Cliff Kingsbury from Texas Tech. There were a number of Michael Bishop, from Kansas State. Michael Beasley went to K-State, just different sport. Michael Bishop and Kingsbury from Texas Tech. These are, a couple of guys that didn't end up being studs for the Patriots. The point is, quarterbacks are a hit or miss proposition. You find what you like in a quarterback, what you're looking for. If they've got those skills, you keep bringing them in. You've got to constantly, I believe, keep turning and burning the young quarterbacks. Bring them in, give them a couple of years to try to develop, see if you've got something there. If not, move on and try the next guy. Patriots found their guy early on with Tom Brady, but obviously, again, found another guy in Matt Cassel, who we'll see if he ends up being a Hall of Fame quarterback. But clearly, with a team that is in a rebuilding mode around him, was still able to have a solid season. His first go-round as a starter, coming off an excellent season as a starter with the New England Patriots in an 11-5 season, it's pretty clear that the system worked. Two times, they came away with at least NFL starters to Hall of Famers. I think that's the approach you'll see from the Chiefs. Will they draft a quarterback? I wouldn't guarantee that they would draft any position. Will they look at quarterbacks? You bet. I think the Chiefs will look at quarterbacks every single year as long as Scott Pioli is there. And if they find a guy that they think has the intangibles, the tools it takes to go out and win in the NFL, they'll bring him in and see if they can build him up and see if they've got a potential starter on their hands in the future. Appreciate your emails as always. redzone@kcchiefs.org. We will take a break. When we come back, Brandon Flowers will be with us, Chiefs cornerback. He's next here in the Red Zone.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on kcchiefs.com.
It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angle, cutback, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Jamal Charles.
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job and we'll win this game. And the Chiefs put the hammer down.
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good. Ryan Suckup wins the game in overtime.
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to kcchiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul.
With the fifth pick, the Kansas City Chiefs select...
We can't tell you yet. You're going to have to find out at the Chiefs NFL Draft Party. The NFL Draft is right around the corner and new for 2010. The draft's first round will be held in prime time Thursday night, April 22nd. The Draft Party takes place at the Chiefs Indoor Practice Facility with the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, hosting the party, giving you an inside look at each player selected along with live draft updates from New York. There'll be a special appearance by Chiefs Chairman Clark Hunt. Come get autographs and pictures of current and former Chiefs players. Get your first peek at the 2010 Chiefs cheerleaders and shake your belly with KC Wool. We'll have food and drinks available, so join us for happy hour Thursday, April 22nd. Get tickets now for the Chiefs Draft Day Party, sponsored by Miller Lite and KC Southern. Chiefs Draft Day tickets start at just $15 for adults and $10 for kids. Get yours now at kcchiefs.com or by calling 800-745-3000. The 2010 Chiefs NFL Draft Party.
Every Sunday, a city of more than 2 million unites. A community of fans thousands strong anticipates. A team of 53 players charges the field.
It's a sweep left of the fullback, and a great block springs him to the outside. He's up the left sideline.
And one grocery store is proud to support them all.
He's going to outrace everyone in the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. A Kansas City Chiefs fan, they'll tailgate just about anywhere. And they live to hear the three most important words ever.
Tailgate Kansas City!
With Hy-Vee's weekly tailgate specials, you'll find everything you need for your next Chiefs tailgate or Chiefs party. Stop into Hy-Vee and stock up with new tailgate specials every week.
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Real sports fans can tell you all about decibels. That a crowd yelling at 105 decibels is like a jackhammer. 120, a jet engine. That studies directly link team performance to crowd noise. Finally, they'll tell you to go to Ticketmaster, with more ways to get you into the game, including buying and selling seats from season ticket holders and other fans. Because for your voice to be heard, you have to be there. Ticketmaster. More ways in.
Buy and sell Chiefs tickets with Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster at kcchiefs.com.
Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com.
Welcome back. You're in the Red Zone here at kcchiefs.com. Soren Petro with you on a Wednesday, and we're going to talk some defense with one of the best players on the Chiefs defense, one of the better players in the NFL on the defensive side of the football, Brandon Flowers, Chiefs cornerback, is with us. Brandon, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good, doing good. Back in Kansas City, working out, ready to get the season on the way.
Yeah, are you excited to be back for the off-season program, or is it just a necessary evil you got to do to get to the regular season?
Oh, no, I'm very excited. You know, that's when you see your teammates all again. You know, we got a different coaching staff coming in. You get to watch film. It's just, I love football, so I just love being around a football atmosphere.
Yeah, so even though there's no games at the end of it, still you don't mind being a part of it?
Oh, no, because, you know, once you get in the NFL, you know, the way you build your body up, the way you build your speed, games are won on the offseason. So you come in on offseason willing to work, ready to work, because you know it'll pay off for the season.
Now, how long did you let your body rest at the end of the regular season before you started trying to work out and get ready to go? Or is this really kind of kick off your preparation for the season?
To be honest, only took, I want to say, a month and a half off, you know. Just let all the swelling and the little banging that you did the whole season just heal up a little bit. But you can't sit down too long because you get too stiff and you'll be a step slow coming into the next season. So you can't take too much time off. You got to keep it rolling.
Yeah, so, you know, you feel like, hey, you're ready to go? If they wanted to play a game on Sunday, would you be ready?
Oh, I wish we had a game this Sunday. I'd definitely be ready to play.
I think you would. I think you would, Brandon. We're talking to Brandon Flowers here in the Red Zone. All right, how important is this offseason for you guys? I know last year, similar situation, new defensive coordinator, so new schemes. Romeo Crennel comes in. I'll talk to you about Romeo Crennel and Emmett Thomas as well. But overall, is it a more important offseason when everybody's trying to learn a new defensive scheme?
Yeah, I think it's a very important offseason, you know, because we just need to hit the books real hard, learn the scheme inside out that Romeo Crennel is going to bring in. So when we do hit the preseason in the first game of the season, we don't have to think on the field, you know. We'll know our assignments in and out. And just with the new players like Sean Smith on the defense side of the ball, Thomas Jones on the offensive side of the ball, you know, just gelling with those guys, getting a camaraderie. So I think it's definitely important offseason because we have the coaches in here now that's getting everybody fired up, ready to play for them. So everybody just can't wait to get it started.
What do you think of Romeo Crennel now that you've had a chance to be around him?
Oh, you know, I can see what they say when he's a player's coach, you know. Real easy guy to talk to. He's a guy that loves to get to the quarterback. That's all he talks about. He wants to get to the quarterback and create turnovers. And that's right up my alley. You know, I love to create turnovers, so I think we're going to have a real, real good relationship here.
Now, I've asked a number of guys this question. When you found out he was going to be the guy, did you call around to guys you know in the league that maybe had played for him, try to get a scouting report on him, or did you just decide?
Oh, yeah. You do that with every coach that come in. You know, whoever you know played for him or, you know, played against him, what kind of guy you think he is, what kind of guy is he, you know. You try to get the scoop all the time, no matter what coach come in.
And the whole and all the scoop was good news, right?
Oh, yeah, all the scoop. You know, great news. Not even good news, it was great news. So, looking forward to it.
Now, I think sometimes people might say, well, maybe he's pulling your leg. But when you got a guy who's got three championship rings, brings head coaching experience as well. He's got three Super Bowl rings as a coordinator. I mean, I'm shortchanging him as a position coach. He's got Super Bowl rings as well. Has he mentioned how many? He's got to have, I think, maybe at least four, if not five, Super Bowl rings. Have you talked to him about that?
Oh, no, I haven't talked to him about Super Bowl rings. You know, Romeo's a humble guy. Guy I don't like to throw the ring thing in your face. But when it's contagious, you know, the way you just come to work every day, just the way you just present yourself, you know, just the way and attitude, atmosphere, is very contagious. So everybody in high spirits over there who's around them in the building, and like I said before, man, we very excited going into this season.
Now, how much can you, you know, you mentioned, you know, hitting the books and knowing your assignments. Can you really get a lot done without the pads, without the contact? Is that a part that You know, actually more gets done without the pads than with the pads, and the fans kind of miss out on that understanding?
Definitely. You know, 75% of the game, to me, I think is mental. You know, knowing your assignment before you get out there. You know, and just not knowing your assignment, knowing what your teammates' assignment is. You know, for instance, if I know a safety is going to rob a certain route on the play, I can kind of cheat what the receiver's doing because I know where my safety is going to be at. So it's just not just knowing where you're supposed to be, it's knowing where everybody else is supposed to be. So that's a key part of being successful on the field.
Yeah, how long does it take for all that to come together?
Oh, man, it depends on the person, you know. Some guys get it quicker than others. Some guys are, you know, book of hearts. They'll stay in the film room, watch film one, study out the playbook, just go back and forth, and they'll learn in a day or two. Some people take a week or two. So it depends on how fast of a learner you are. If you're not that fast of a learner, most people put in extra time in the film room to get caught up with everybody else. So it just depends on what type of player you are.
We're talking to Brandon Flowers here in the Red Zone. Brandon, a Hall of Fame defensive back in his own right. Emmett Thomas, now your position coach and a great within this organization. Great years during the best years that this franchise has seen. What does that bring? What does that make a guy listen more when you know he's done it at the highest level? When you know he's a Hall of Famer, does that change how guys pay attention maybe a little bit better or deal with Emmett Thomas with what all he's accomplished?
Yeah, you know, with the guys on this team, you know, coaching is coaching. You know, guys go listen no matter what. But like you said, Emmett Thomas, he's a Hall of Fame, you know. So when he speaks, everybody's going to listen. Not just the defensive backs, everybody's going to listen because he was great at what he did. He was the best player at his time and what he done. You know, and hopefully – what he done, being an interception leader around here, can rub off on me and Brandon Carr and the other guys in secondary a little bit. So we're going to try to steal a few tips and pointers from Emmett, you know, to enhance our game.
Now, how much you mentioned Brandon Carr, you guys came in together. How much do you guys compete with, with each other as far as trying to push each other?
Oh, man, you know, we compete a lot. It's good competition, though. You know, if he get one interception in practice, I'm going to dive trying to get two interceptions, you know. He get five pass breakups, I'm on seven. It's vice versa, you know. It's just going to make each other better, you know, going on the field. We also compete on how many balls can get caught by the opposing receiver. So it's just good, clean fun, you know, that's going to make each other better on the field.
Now, I remember talking to you after you were drafted, and you talked about all the Virginia Tech guys that had gone before you and how you could pick up the phone and call them if you needed advice or help while you were at Virginia Tech, and that was a great, you know, we talked about how that's what a program is. It's more than just the team and the guys that are on the team, but it's the guys that have gone before you that are still willing to help out. Now you're one of those guys in the NFL. You taking calls from Virginia Tech guys and giving back to the school the way the guys did before you?
Oh, yeah, always. You know, we have a safety coming out this year, Cam Chancellor. He calls me all the time. During the year, what can he do to help his press man-to-man game because he played over a slot receiver a lot. You know, Rashad Carmichael, who's a starter at Virginia Tech this year, just asked me a little simple question. And it's funny you mentioned about players just helping other players because all the guys that's in the NFL now, we all called each other up. And 2 weeks after the last mini camp or OTA for everybody, everybody's heading to Virginia Tech. Help young guys out, you know, just do 7-on-7 things out there, take the young guys in the film room, tell them what we learned in the NFL and how it can help you just dominate the college game. So everybody in the NFL got up with each other and said we're going to go back to Virginia Tech and make that program even stronger.
Now, does any of the coaches ever say, now, hold on, we still got to coach these guys? You know, anyone ever say, no, not too much?
Oh, yeah, you know, we take heed into that, you know, we know what the coaches are teaching there, and we'll go over with the coaches first. You know, we'll ask them. Well, we already kind of know what they're teaching because we went through the same system. But we won't step on any coach's shoes. We'll just a little route combination that coaches probably didn't see. We'll just let the young guys know what to look for.
Now, are you catching?
We're never stepping on the coach's toes, though.
Right. Now, are you catching young guys there at Virginia Tech? Do you catch them kind of looking at you going, wow, that's Brandon Flowers, man. He's in the league. And think back and say, did I have these big wide eyes and did I have that reaction when I was at Virginia Tech and the guys were coming back?
You know, I think it makes the guys work even harder, you know. Being part of the same deep of backfield, being in the same meeting room, me going to the NFL, they feel like I can play just as good as Brandon or even better. So So that makes them work even harder. You know, just like guys like Eric Green, Vincent Fuller, guys like that, once they went Aaron Rouse, once they went to the NFL, I remember I was saying I'm in the same meeting room as those guys, you know, same practice field. They work hard. I want to work even harder to go to the NFL. So it just makes the dream to get to the NFL more realistic, having guys go out of the St. Luke's backfield.
And do you constantly remind them about the tradition of playing great defense and special teams there at Virginia Tech?
Oh, yeah. You know, I don't even have to remind them. You know, Coach Bud Foster and Ben will do all that by themselves, you know. You know, like they train you. As soon as you come in the first day, what they expect. And once it hits you, it never leaves you.
All right, we're talking to Brandon Flowers here in the Red Zone. Brandon, before I let you go, I've given you these before, the final four quickies. You just tell me the first thing that pops into your head, and I'll ask you this one. Are you watching Ocho Cinco on Dancing with the Stars?
Oh, yeah, I'm watching Ocho Cinco. You know, he's a funny, entertaining guy, you know, for this NFL league, for this league we play in. And I've been watching, you know, checking him out. I'm rooting him on. I hope you take it all.
Yeah,
the guy from the NFL win, Dancing the Stars.
Now, did you have a chance to talk to him? You know, on the maybe before the field. I know you might have talked a lot of trash during the game, but maybe before, you know, get a chance to get to know Ocho Cinco, Chad Johnson, Chad, before you guys played.
Once we was on the field, you know, before the game or during the game, there was a lot of trash talk, you know, but fun trash talking. Ocho Cinco, you know, he's an entertaining guy that's going to keep running his mouth, but. After the game, you know, we talked a lot, and a couple of days after the game, he actually got in contact with me, making sure my shoulder was all right, and we both let each other know that we enjoy playing against each other.
All right, so the guy, the over-the-top entertainer, maybe not all of who he is, actually a pretty good guy.
Oh, no, he's a great guy. He's a great guy.
All right, that's good to know. That's important. But nice to know you're watching him on Dancing with the Stars. Maybe it'll be you one day, right?
Man, I don't I don't know about the Dance with the Stars thing. I think I'll pass on that one.
All right. Probably a wise move. All right, sociology major, I noticed. What if you weren't playing football, what would you be doing?
I think I'd get in the criminal justice field. You know, I love trying to figure things out and solve things, so I decided to go into being a detective, you know, going through all the procedures that I had to go through to get to be a detective.
All right, very good. That sounds about right. You kind of have to be a detective in the D backfield, figure out where the ball's going and everything. So that kind of fits the MO of a defensive back in the NFL. All right, how good will the Hokies be next year?
I don't like to, you know, put a stamp on what I think they should be, because every year we feel like we should go to the national championship. And we'll get very close, and then something will happen. And, you know, we'll lose a very key game. But I think this is one of the strongest Hokie teams that I've seen in a while. We have three great running backs, a great quarterback, a nice, well-polished receiving core, great special team. Everything is great this year. You know, this is the best I've seen Tech in a long time. So, hey, sky's the limit for the Hokies this year.
All right. And finally, do you ever give Coach Cornell grief about his beer commercials?
Nah, I haven't gave him grief about that yet, but I know the joke's coming soon. We got a lot of guys that love making guys laugh in the locker room and the meeting room, so I know those jokes coming very soon.
All right. Well, keep us up to date on when that does happen.
All right, I make sure I will.
All right. Hey, Brandon, always appreciate the time. Thanks so much, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you down the road.
Thanks. No problem. Thanks for having me.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com. It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angle, cutback, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Jamal Charles.
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job, and we'll win this game. And the Chiefs put the hammer down.
Now,
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good! Ryan Suckup wins the game in overtime!
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to kcchiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul.
In today's hectic world, it's hard enough to find time to manage all your commitments and still find time to pursue a higher education. But at Columbia College, we make it easier. Classes are just 8 weeks long, and you can earn your associate, bachelor's, or master's degree on campus, online, or both. Apply now to Columbia College in Kansas City at www.ccis.edu/about-time. That's www.ccis.edu/about-time.
Hey, Chiefs fans, I'm Josh Looney of KCChiefs.com.
And I am the Internet. Great to be here, Josh.
We're here to tell you about all the new and exciting things going on at KCChiefs.com.
I usually don't endorse websites, but KCChiefs.com is legit.
I know. At KCChiefs.com, you can check out my daily blog, exclusive video content, see what's going on with the team, learn about the Chiefs cheerleaders, and much more.
Yeah, buddy.
That's not all. You can also interact with other fans in Chiefs 365. Chiefs 365 is the place for Chiefs fans to interact, give feedback, and be connected with everything Chiefs.
Fan feedback? That is awesome. But Josh, I really want to buy a jersey.
At KCChiefs.com, you can do that too. The Chiefs Pro Shop is the best place on the web. Buy all of your favorite Chiefs gear, gifts, and much more.
Whoa, system overload.
You want the Chiefs? Go to the Chiefs at KCChiefs.com.
Are you looking for that perfect gift? Maybe it's a birthday, a holiday, or just looking for something special for that extra special Chiefs fan in your life? Well, we have it. The 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar is now available at KCChiefs.com. This 16-month calendar features the entire Chiefs cheerleader squad in swimsuits shot in red-hot Jamaica. Get your hands on the 16-month 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar online at the Chiefs Pro Shop at kcchiefs.com.
Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com.
All right, that's going to do it for us here in the Red Zone. Soren Petro with you. I want to thank our guests. Brandon Flowers, just joining us in our last segment. Always good to talk to Brandon Flowers, one of the real good guys in the NFL. And you can tell, giving back to Virginia Tech, his alma mater, and giving back, I'm sure, to the young players on this Chiefs team as well. Just going to get better and better. Brandon Flowers joining us last segment here in the Red Zone, and our thanks to Wes Bunting. Wes will be back with us next week as we'll break down a couple of more positions as we continue to get you ready for the NFL draft. So for Curtis Siebold and Brad Young, Soren Petro saying, thank you very much for joining us here in the Red Zone.
You've been listening to the Red Zone with Soren Petro. Join us again next week for more discussion of your Kansas City Chiefs. This has been an exclusive presentation of KCChiefs.com.